If you were to read, excuse me, Mary's Magnificat in Luke 1, 46 through 55, where after the angel Gabriel announces to her that, you know, that the Son of God is going to be born through her, she gives this beautiful account of wonder about how God could use somebody like her. And she marvels that God would choose her, a peasant girl through whom to accomplish his salvation for Israel and the world. And so I think that you get that sense certainly here. And when you understand these great characters that make up the Nativity, look, here's the thing, and never let this, I mean, for many people who are irreligious, who have no background in church at all or in relationship to Christianity at all, this can appear to be very absurd to them, that we have this belief that God chose to use this really humble girl, and that he chose through the power of his Holy Spirit to place his son in her womb so that he could be born outside of the fallen nature of humanity. And that as a result of that, he could be a pure sacrifice that would pay the sins for all of humanity. For much of the world, that just sounds pretty strange, pretty primitive. But it's what we believe. And it's a belief that we offer no apologies for. You know? And so, when you look at these stories then, it's important to understand the significance of them then, there and then, and then in the here and now. For example, last week I talked about angels and how angels were messengers who brought the good news. And so because angels were messengers who brought good news, it's incumbent upon us to be angels who bring the message of good news. And so when you look at somebody like Mary and Joseph, for example, then, you know, what were some of the primary attributes in their life that we should imitate in ours? And one would be Mary's ability to humbly and faithfully trust and be obedient. May it be as you have said, was Mary's response. So Mary's response was submissiveness and faithful obedience. She was submissive, and she was faithfully obedient. And then when you look at Joseph, what was his response? His response was a righteous response. Rather than saying, "You humiliated me, you embarrassed me," he chose instead to deal with her in a gracious manner. He was righteous. And so in the same way that Mary was faithfully submissive and obedient, trusting in God, are we faithfully submissive and obedient in our trust of God when he calls us? When he chooses to hijack your life, is your response, why do you do this to me? Or is it, may it be as you have said. I will be submissive to your call upon my life, and I will trust you, and I will be faithful. When God calls us to do things rightly, do we do only what we have to do? Do we get frustrated when we don't get what we think we should deserve? Or is our response like Joseph's, where even though it may look bad, even though it may be embarrassing, even though it might be difficult, even though we don't get what we think we need or want, our response is righteous, and so we have a heart of character and virtue, and we do what is gracious and good, not just what we have to, but above and beyond what we need to. That was Joseph's response. So in what manner do our lives, are they reflective of Mary's in that way? In what manner are our lives reflective of Joseph in that way? Because both these great heroes of the Nativity account, their lives speak even today in their response to how God works in people's lives. Does this make sense to you?
Amen.
So, when you look at Mary, you could go back all the way back to the Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3, where Eve chose to be disobedient, as did Adam. Mary chose to be obedient and submissive to God. You can go back to the same text in Genesis and compare that to Joseph. And what was their problem? Their problem was that they chose not to be righteous, but to be disobedient. Joseph chose to be righteous. He could have negatively affected the outcome of the Savior's birth by insisting that he get what the culture said he should have gotten. But he didn't pay attention to the culture. He paid attention to the Holy Spirit speaking to his heart. He paid attention to the angel Gabriel in terms of what his role should be. So it's important to understand also that this birth through Mary and by extension Joseph, it just didn't happen sort of spontaneously. In fact, 800 years before, we read in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 through 13, this is what we call the Davidic covenant, the covenant that God made with David, that through the line of David, he would establish a Savior. And in this text it says, "I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So Jesus is the fulfillment of that. So I'm going to read to you now a combination of Luke 1, 26 through 38, Matthew 1, 18 through 25, and then Luke 2, 4 through 7. It's a compilation of the birth narrative as we understand it, because no one gospel sort of captures all of that. Before I do that, I just want to mention to you also that it's interesting that you should note that Joseph and Mary's families may have been a part of a group of zealous Jews 100 years earlier who moved to Galilee to bring their Jewish faith to pagan Galileans. So they belonged to that group. They were being the messengers. They were being a righteous people even before the birth account. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." I always find that kind of an interesting response. You know, it's sort of like you have to remind God, you know, like, "Hey, you might have forgotten, but like, there's some things that haven't happened yet in my life. So how could this be?" You know, but the angel was nonplussed and he said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary's response was, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So, again, I am sure that not only in Mary's mind was sort of like what to her would be the physical impossibility that she was a virgin, but also socially what this might mean for her within her culture. But her response courageously was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. Something that I think that we miss today within our own Christian lives. Are we ready for the Lord to appear to us and say, look, I want you to do this with your life. And it's going to be radical and it's going to be different, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to be less materialistic. I want you to be more forgiving. I want you to be serve more with your time. I want you to share your resources more with others and with the church. Dina was up here talking about how she and Joel really have had to count the cost as they move towards tithing in their lives. They've been convicted by the Holy Spirit. And they've had to ask this question. And so that's what they're doing. The Holy Spirit has hijacked their life in that regard. And when he does hijack our lives, is our response the same as this little peasant girl who occupied 99.9% of the socioeconomic population group of, in other words, nobody in their right mind who had any power at all would have paid any attention to this little virginal girl that was powerless within the world in which she lived. But her courageous response was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. Our world, this community, this church, needs more of a heart and a mind like this little peasant girl named Mary. Like this young man named Joseph. I don't know if you know how poor they were, but when Jesus was born, there was sort of a taxonomy. There was a schedule of sorts that when your child was born, that you had to offer these kinds of sacrifices, thanksgiving sacrifices to God at the temple. And for most people, I believe that meant you had to offer something pretty substantial, like an oxen or something like that. But if you were really poor, two doves were sufficient. And so if you read in the text, that's what Mary and Joseph offered at the temple as their thanksgiving offering for Jesus. Two doves. That's all they had. But God took really the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, didn't he? Right? And so he can with us. Because some of us here may feel like we're relatively powerless, that we don't have that much influence, that we don't have much to give, or whatever. But it's God who's responsible for the increase, not us. All that we are supposed to do is be faithful. We are never responsible for success as acts of faithfulness. That's not our job. Our job is just to be faithful and let God deal with the success part of it. That's our job. So look, there's so much more here that I want to share with you, and I see that it's almost 11 o'clock and we have communion to do this morning. So I may come back to the other half of this next Sunday because it's really fascinating what goes on from here that I can share with you. But I just, before we have communion, I just want to challenge everyone here. I want us to sort of really wrestle with the character and the nature of these two remarkable people. A young man who has a wife and a new baby, and he is so poor, even after they have the baby, he is so poor that he gives the minimum of what is legal to give for their sacrifice at the temple. That despite their poverty, their lack of resources, their lack of social standing, despite any of that that we in this world consider to be necessary and essential to affect change, despite all of that, Mary's response was, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said." And Joseph's response was, "I will not put her away," because he was a righteous man and he was gracious, and he still, by faith, married her, even though in his day, all of his friends would have been saying, "Hey, Joseph, now come on. You know, nobody can get pregnant without someone else being there. You are getting damaged goods." But that was not Joseph's response. Joseph's response was, "I am going to believe what the angel Gabriel said to me." As fantastic as that sounds. And I don't care what my relatives or what my friends might say. I believe that this is a woman of virtue. I believe the story that she has told me. I trust that what I saw in my dream with the angel Gabriel is real and true. And because that was their response, because he was righteous and because she was courageously submissive, they changed the world. If God approached you in that way, what would be your response? What would be my response? I hope that it would be something similar to what Mary and Joseph did. Father God, thank you this morning for the beauty and the wonder and the richness of their example, of how their life 2,000 years ago speaks powerfully and convictingly even in our lives today. And so we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. And if you have a plan for our life, and as part of our plan, we are on a certain path, we are on a certain trajectory that we think is right, but you come along and your Holy Spirit is there and you hijack us, you ambush us, and you say, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to live in this way. I want you to get to know these people. I want you to serve in this manner. I want you to share your resources in these kinds of ways, because this is what I want," says the Lord God. And out of love and respect and reverence and joy, we respond in kind. Forgive us for all those times in the past, Lord, that we have not responded in that way. Help us to create a new slate, and that from this day forward, when your Holy Spirit speaks, we have a heart and a mind that's sensitive and attuned to what He has to say. And that we count it a privilege to alter our life in whatever manner, so that your kingdom is advanced, so that people are served, so that God is glorified. But help us not just to mentally assent to that now, but to do the hard work and take the inward walk and reflectively examine in our lives, what is it that keeps us from being fully obedient, to being fully submissive? What are those things in our lives that rob us of holiness and goodness and righteousness? What is it that we really have to repent from, so that our lives can be fully arranged to give everything that's within it? Because you are worthy. So we give this all to you. We ask your blessing upon it. Help these two wonderful people to be powerful images for us this entire Christmas season, we pray. In your name, amen.